Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. You're going to hear from Kyle Whittingham here in a bit. All right, Hans, it's been a while. It's time to get back to it. Okay or all right? Got to imagine he's probably a little surly after losing to Washington State.
Probably a little surly, but yeah, probably surly. It's going to be an okay.
I want to argue with you on this one. No, okay.
Okay is a light day. All right is a let's get to business.
He's all right. He's angry. It's all right. Yep. A little happier. It's okay.
It'll be an all right.
You know what? I'll go okay just to be contrarian. I think you're going to be right, though.
It'll be an all right, and he'll get right into business.
Here he is, Kyle Whittingham, addressing the media right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Okay. All right. Coming off a physical game at Oregon State. I thought offense played well. We did some good things offensively, a lot of good things offensively, over 450 yards. Total O, didn't turn the ball over. Very productive, a lot of first downs, 28 first downs. One thing we didn't do well in offense was red zone production. Got in the red zone 8 times and only came in with 4 touchdowns, which is, need 2 more. You know, if we can get 6 out of 8, then that's a really good percentage. But 4 out of 8 was really our demise on offense was the red zone touchdown percentage. Defensively, didn't play well at all. Soft again in the run game. They rushed for 260 yards, over 6 yards a carry, which we knew going in that if that was and that has been Oregon State's MO all year long, and we knew going in that if they were able to do what they usually do, it wasn't going to be a good situation for us, and they did exactly that. They ran the football very effectively. Not a lot of throwing yards, enough, a couple hundred, but we just weren't our usual selves on defense, and that's, it was early in the year we had that same issue, then it went away, and as far as our run defense, and it showed back up on Saturday. So we sit still in pretty good position in the Pac-12 South. You know, it's still anybody's, well, not anybody's, but there's, 3 teams really vying for it right now for the title, and still not quite to the halfway point. At least we're not. 4 games down, 5 to go in conference play. But a big one this week, as they all are, against UCLA. They're running the football well. In addition, second only to Oregon State in the conference as far as rushing production. They're playing the run extremely tough. Their defense allowing less than 100 yards a game rushing, which is leading the league. And so they've got dynamic players. The quarterback is a dynamic player. He's talented. 2 good running backs. And the way the quarterback runs the ball, they got 3 really good runners. Receiver, the Phillips kid's a great player. Like I mentioned, defensively, they're pretty stingy against the run. Scoring 33 points or thereabouts a game offensively, so very productive. They're a good team, and Chip is always hard to defend. He's going to have some things you haven't seen every single week. He's got things that you haven't practiced and that you got to be able to adjust to during the course of the game, and so we got a challenge ahead of us. We're at home, which is a positive, back home in Rice-Eccles. And I think it's going to be a late kickoff. Has that been announced yet for sure?
Yes, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. So there you go. Another late kickoff. So should be a great crowd and another great environment. So questions?
You've always been pretty stout on the run defense and different things that way. Where do you kind of assess that to right now? I mean, obviously Devin was taken out of the game late, but where is kind of some of that?
Starting 3 freshman D-linemen is you never make excuses, because if you're out there, you got to perform. But we're just not quite where we need to be up front yet. We've had flashes during the course of the year, but not quite enough consistency. When we lost Devin, that was obviously a blow, but we had been soft before he was gone. So it wasn't the key to the whole thing. But we certainly missed him when he got ejected.
Kyle, with the red zone trips that ended with no points, were you okay with the play calling?
Yeah, I think one of the times we should have run the ball more, I think it was the time when we're heading, as we look at it, to our left, in the left end zone. But you know, you can always question the calls. If they work, they're great calls. If they don't, you know, you question them. But I would like to see a little more physicality, to answer your question, inside the five, in the red zone.
David, you had some time to presumably see the film. Do you still think that the Devin Lloyd targeting should not have been?
Correct. I don't think it should be called. I do not think it should be called, my estimation. But I'm not the one that counts. So it was called, so we've got to live with it.
UCLA may or may not have DTR playing on Saturday. I mean, he's got it banked up in that Oregon game.
He'll play. He's a tough kid. he'll be there. Yeah, I'd be shocked if he's not there.
But how do you prepare for somebody like him, knowing that you've seen dynamic running quarterbacks, but you know he's obviously given fits to a lot of teams.
He has, a lot like the Arizona State quarterback. It'll be very similar to what he brings to the table. And we've seen him. This is the third time we've seen him, I guess, through the years. But he is lightning quick. And like I said, he's like another running back on the field, essentially.
How is UCLA's running attack like Oregon State's, and how is it different?
It's a little more diverse. Oregon State just hammers you with the zone and the stretch. And they do it over and over. And they do it as good as anybody in the country. Their blocking combinations, their footwork with their O-line, their aiming points, how they get up to the next level. I mean, they're as good as there is in the country at that. UCLA has got some similarities in the run game, but a little more. They'll give you a few more looks than what Oregon State will.
Any of the injuries that were sustained Saturday, are they serious or season-ending?
Don't know for certain. We're still evaluating that. And in fact, what time is it noon? We should know by this afternoon. A lot more.
How do you teach physicality? I mean, obviously, like, that's not been a thing that you have to worry about necessarily in the program, but you said you want to be more physical. Where do you go from that?
Well, you recruit it, first of all. That's the number one thing, is you recruit physicality. And like I said, we've got some young front guys that aren't quite yet as big and strong as they're going to be. They're going to be really good. We got a lot of confidence in them going forward. But right now, we don't have the 315-pound Lecky Fotus and guys we've had in the middle. They're, 295, 290-ish. But again, they'll get bigger and better as time goes on.
There's quite a bit of the quarterback run game for you guys. Are you comfortable with that? You took some
pretty good. I wouldn't say there was more quarterback run game. He pulled it down a few more times. There wasn't any more designed runs than we've had in the past. But you're 100% accurate. He took some hits, and that's – it's a learning process, and we're comfortable with Cam running the ball because he gives us so much when he does, but he's got to be much more, use better judgment at the end of the runs and take some of those hits off himself by stepping out of bounds, sliding, whatever the case may be, because he's so competitive and he wants to win as bad as anybody I've ever been around and wants to do anything he can to help, and at times he has put himself in some situations where you're just hoping he gets up because there's some pretty good hits. And so hopefully going forward, we see him continue to add that 40 to 75-yard-ish range of runs or of yardage in the run game, but not take the hit at the end of the play. Be smarter and be able to avoid that.
Following up on that, with Cameron Rising's decision to pull it, to tuck it and run, they picked up some first down, some good yardage.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious to get your thoughts on decision-making in terms of
I thought he did a great job with that, and when the things were not there and things were covered up, I don't think he prematurely pulled it down. I think he made good decisions each time, and that's what he brings to the table in the run game is part of what makes him so effective. He's in the top 10 in the nation in QBR. I think he's number 8. He was number 5 last week, and that's your best barometer of how a quarterback is playing, because it takes into account everything, how often he's getting sacked, how many yards he's gaining rushing the football, how well he's throwing the football. All that is packaged into that rating, and he's playing really well.
Kyle, with Devin out for the first half on Saturday, how do you balance the reps in practice knowing that he's not playing for two quarters?
Yeah, that's another good question, and we will have to have a guy ready for the first half that will take his reps, and we'll just have to split those up and divide them kind of 50-50, with what Devin gets and what the replacement kid will get. And so that's going to be a juggling act. But Devin is a very experienced, accomplished guy. He doesn't need a ton of reps. And so we'll probably err on giving the backup or the guy that's going to start in place of him more reps.
Kyle,
it's only one game, but the special teams have been kind of close, getting kicked, blocked.
Yeah.
So where do you go from here now with this?
Yeah, well, first of all, the first block was, you got it out in 184, which is really fast. It was a protection breakdown. It wasn't the punter mechanics. It was just slow. Now the second one, which fortunately didn't count because that would have been even more disastrous at that point in the game. It was too close to the shield. That was an error with the punter getting too close to the shield. Now the kick came out really low trajectory. I don't know if you saw it in slow motion, but very low trajectory. And so that was more on the punter, but people have been testing us, you know, and particularly in the last game when we have a new snapper because our snapper's gone for the season. So they're going to test you out, but it wasn't a snapping issue. The snapper played just fine in the game on Saturday and did a great job with his place kicking snaps as well as short snaps. But that is a concern, and we've got to shore that up this week.
Could you evaluate the contributions that Theo Howard has made to the program this season?
Theo's done a nice job for us. Maybe hasn't caught as many balls as maybe we projected, at least not yet. Had to leave the game with an injury on Saturday, one of those injuries that we talked about that we won't know for certain whether he's going to be able to go or not for a day or two. But Theo's a guy that works hard. He's a great teammate, always has a great attitude, and really enjoy having him on our team.
In a general sense, do you worry about the emotional toll on the players moving forward here with this season in light of what's happened?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's always something that we're continuing to work through. And like I said before, we'll get through it. We won't get over it, but we will at some point get through it completely. But it's a challenge. Everything's a challenge. I mean, everything is. I worry about everything, and that's one of the things that has been certainly hard on our team is working through that. If that answers that.
What was your biggest takeaway from the game against Oregon State for your team, just as a whole? What was your takeaway?
I would say the takeaway is we got a bunch of competitive guys that have no quit in them. I would say the offense is starting to find a rhythm. Knock on wood, you know, hopefully that continues. That's two games over 450 yards of offense and a bunch of first downs and a bunch of points and taking care of the football. And so hopefully we're starting to discover and be who we envisioned we could be early in the season or in fall camp. Defensively, inconsistent throughout the year, more good than bad, but some games that we just, that's not us, you know, games that we just, It's not our usual defensive output. And the special teams has been, as we mentioned, had some real bad moments. You know, there's some bright spots too with Covey in the return game. We're as good as there is in the country in punt return, but as good as we are there, we're that bad in some other areas.
If your defense isn't able to kind of be to the standard that you've had, do you feel confident in your offense in the sense that maybe you could win games in shootouts, and traditionally you kind of grind it out a little bit.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I think our defense is going to be fine in the long run. You know, I'm talking beyond this year. And again, you keep going back to it, but when you got 7 or 8, 9, 10 freshmen that are playing considerable, you're going to take some lumps. There's just no way around it. You can't not have that happen. Is our offense ready to win a game 51-48? We're getting closer, you know, but hopefully it doesn't come to that. But we're certainly not where we need to be on defense right now.
What is the strength of UCLA's defense?
Athleticism and speed. They got talented guys. They got a good defensive tackle, 96, I think is his number, 91, 96. Big, strong kid in the middle. They're very sound, you know, quarters coverage is their base coverage. Then you get into longer yardage, and they'll mix in some zone pressure and some split safety look, or some other looks other than quarters in the back end. But I would say it's just their overall athletes, a lot like Arizona State, very athletic at each level.
Do they do anything specifically that will make you change what you do? Obviously, maybe USC went 3-3-5 a little bit, but UCLA seems to be more...
Defensively for us?
Yeah.
Uh, I don't think there's going to be wholesale changes defensively. We just got to be – and the things that really hurt us against Oregon State was not schematics. It was physically getting beat at the point of attack, getting blocked, not coming off a block, popping out of a gap. And so it wasn't like we were just getting mental mistakes everywhere or needed a different scheme. We just need to play more sound up front in the front seven. And we also gave up some big plays down the field. You know, we had plays too many big plays in the throw game against Oregon State, but it was the run game that did us in.
Kyle Whittingham right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Folks, it's a double rainbow. Lloyd, I don't know if you can back it up to the beginning of the press conference. It was an okay and an all right.
Okay.
Yeah, but you,
all right.
Wow.
But you win because okay came first. Remember, it's always the first thing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I picked all right. Scotty had an okay.
So Kyle Whittingham, in case you're new to the okay all right game, Kyle Whittingham in every press conference will always start it with either okay or all right. And we've done a deep dive. I mean, kids are writing thesis papers about why he goes with one or the other. Mm-hmm. Hans has a theory. It's about his mood. But you can set your watch to it. Every conference, press conference, either okay or all right. But today, folks, it's the unicorn day where he used both of them to start the press conference.
Remember
this
day.
All right.
Almost sounded like a little Matthew McConaughey there.
Yeah,
all right. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I can't believe it. He did it.
Yeah.
He used them both. You know, if we ever hit on that, if one of us ever chooses both and hit it, we need double points in that situation. He mentioned so many good things in that press conference and gave you a lot of understanding as to how Utah ended up losing that game. We also went through this in the morning after podcast, which nobody listened to, so I'll reiterate.
Hey, by the way, we're trying to impress some new bosses here. Can you help us out a little bit?
8 downloads? Is that an all-time low?
We keep telling Nate Dowd, we got this Sunday morning podcast, and he's like, all right, let me show you numbers. That's not important, but it's the content, right?
We try hard.
And by the way, thank you to all the different people out there that send a tweet and said, hey, we listen, because we do show those to our boss. We're like, yeah. See, this guy tweeted. And then we look for those guys that tweeted, and we're like, nope, there was no download from this guy. But we appreciate you tweeting and saying you're downloading it. So to reiterate, the blocked punt for a touchdown was the game changer. That came off the back end of Oregon State establishing a 75-yard drive coming right out of the gates in the second half. And then he talked about losing Devin Lloyd for the targeting. Did he just straight out say, yeah, no, I disagree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. He just said, nope, didn't see it.
He believed that shouldn't have been targeting. Devin Lloyd, by the rule, by the law of it, he did drop his helmet and hit with the crown of his head into the kind of arm and chest area of the quarterback. But I've never liked the targeting situation as it currently is stated. And then the other two things that you have to bring up, you had 4th and 2 and goal and 4th and 3 and goal. And you were stopped on both those 4th downs. Great defensive performances by Oregon State in both of those situations. You don't have to look any further than really those 4 things to see why Utah lost this game. Other than that, I thought that coming out of the gates, I thought they looked really good. Running game looked good. Tavian Thomas looked good. There were a lot of things that I liked about this game. But hopefully Utah can get themselves back up and running come next week.
Yeah, they're going to need to. Mm-hmm. I just checked the numbers. We are at 17 downloads for the morning after.
Yeah.
So we're kind of one off our average. We average about 18. So if you out there did listen, what I suggest is use a different device
and listen again.
We just need like the first, like, I don't know, what is it, Lloyd? Like a minute and a half or something like that?
Yeah, give it like a minute and a half. Listen. And then you can turn it off. You like don't like it.
Scott Brown, the owner of Elite Works, did you listen?
I listen every time.
I don't know what
faithful.
I don't know what I'm nodding and admitting to, but yes, yeah, I did that.
Yes. I mean, that Sunday, morning podcast, It's I listen to the Sounds of Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, from Motab, and then I go straight to that.
Your nose is growing. Lies are coming. But I do want to tell everybody, if you need a website and you need either a new build, maybe you're starting a business and you need a new build, EliteWorks can help you with that. I think sometimes we understate that.
Yeah.
Because the rebuilds for free have become such a great thing for EliteWorks. But you do new builds as well.
We do a ton of new builds.
What do you think a new build to rebuild ratio?
It's probably about one new build for every five, you know, that we convert.
Okay.
And the new websites, I mean, normally someone finding a new website super cheap, it's about $5,000. We normally charge about $1,500. So it's really an inexpensive way of doing it. In fact, we're going to do something crazy.
What do you got?
Oh. Right now, something crazy. Last night,
do you need to call your employees and let them know?
I think so. I mean, last night I had some of the best fish tacos I've ever had in my life. And that was Hans Olsen that cooked them.
Right.
They were root beer battered.
Yes, that's correct.
And they were insanely. If you get a new website today, we will get you one of those root beer fish tacos, and it will be insane.
No, nobody's calling on that.
Well, maybe the same 17 guys that were listening on the podcast will hook us up.
844-523-2777. Call. You need that free rebuild, they're going to get it for you. You need the new build, get it. If you want the fish taco, I'll make it for you if you get that new website built. 844-523-2777. Remember, the sooner you call, the quicker you put into queue. And so your project, it gets put in front of everybody else. Yep. And, you know, in a given remote, you know, we might have 25, 30 different people who get their websites rebuilt.
Yep.
And you can be early in that queue if you call right now.
Yes. We have people standing by, professional website designers.
That are taking the calls.
You're getting a CRM. We have the capability of hosting all your clients in there, all your orders. It'll show
you. It's a big time website.
Yeah, it's big time. I mean, we'll do all your e-commerce. There's so much inside this. And then we only charge $25 a month. You will not beat this value.
855 or
and support for the lifetime.
844-523-2777. It isn't a gimmick.
No.
Call.
We've done it forever. Over 5,000 websites on the platform.
There's a reason these guys are great. 844-523-2777.
Let's go. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Utes, and The Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. The Utes return home to the friendly confines of Rice-Eccles Stadium for a key Pac-12 South Division battle against Chip Kelly and UCLA. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game, and then catch the Ute pregame show Saturday with the postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Ute football.
You ready?
Yeah!
Than 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Good, the bad, the ugly, brought to you by our good friends over at Zero Res. We had somebody reach out to us, say, hey, what's the latest deal at Zero Res? Well, I've got one for you. Just announced today, it is their 1-1-1 deal. Goes now through November 1st. You'll receive four rooms of carpet cleaning for just $111. Use the promo code 111 when you schedule online, ZeroResSaltLake.com or ZeroResDavisWeber.com.
I will text him and let him know that there is a new deal.
Deal.
D-E-A-L.
Yeah, not dill.
Not a dill pickle.
Deal.
Get your carpets taken care of. Zero Res is fantastic. So, two things here in the good, coming from the same area. Number one, I love seeing Kansas City struggle because Kansas City owned certain parts of the NFL for a few years, and it was time for them to get on the struggle bus for a minute.
Yeah, you can live there for a bit.
So they end up losing 27-3 to Tennessee and couldn't do anything offensively, couldn't move the ball. There was a scary moment there where Patrick Mahomes goes down, and I don't care who you are and what you do. I don't want to see you injured. I don't want to see any player injured. I don't want to. Either does Scotty. Either do you, buddy.
No. I'd hate for Patrick Mahomes to miss several games this year due to an injury. That would be the worst.
Well, you're in good luck then.
Damn it.
Because he is fine and healthy. In fact, he could have finished that game against Tennessee, but apparently Andy Reid was like, let's just go ahead and let Chad Henne finish this one.
That's your reminder that Chad Henne's still in the NFL, by the way.
Chad Henne was the backup quarterback for Patrick Mahomes. Who would have known?
Not me.
But I'm being serious. I'm glad that he's okay. Patrick Mahomes says he's fine now. He said, it was fourth down, so I was kind of getting held up. And instead of going down, I tried to throw the ball. And obviously, you all saw the hit. I kind of took my time getting up, but I felt fine. Obviously, you know, these kind of things, you go through those things, the protocol things. But I did everything I needed to do to be right, to be here right now. He said, I had full memory of the play. You get hit pretty hard sometimes. You just want to lay there. And plus, it was fourth down. I knew the game was at the end there. So it was a disappointing day and a disappointing way to end it. But Andy Reid said after the game that he was cleared to return to action. They just decided not to put him back in.
Are the Chiefs going to make the playoffs?
I can't. In good conscience, I can't say no.
I know. That's how I am too. But every week seems like it gets a little bit worse and a little bit worse. I mean, you go back to last week, they won, but they had to come from behind to beat the Washington football team. That's not a good sign. And then you get dump trucked by Tennessee.
So
they're not going to win the division. I don't think they're going to pick up enough games to overtake the Chargers.
And how did we get 7 weeks in?
Holy I know, right?
We're going into going to the halfway point.
Look, BYU, they're three or two-thirds of the way done with their season.
It's crazy. The season's flying by. I would say halfway. It would be halfway point last year, but now they're 17 games. So, Scotty, it's a good question. And I am looking at the AFC right now. Obviously, the AFC West, it's still open. I still don't think that they could still catch the Raiders and win the West.
But can they catch the Chargers?
Probably not.
All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
So Patrick Mahomes' injury wasn't bad. New York Jets quarterback Zach Wilson, although this is kind of good and bad because it looked like it was awful. When you saw the injury, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that's Joe Burrow, and we're not going to see him until September of next year. However, he will miss some time, a sprained PCL in his right knee. So that's good, considering no damage to ACLs and MCLs. But he will miss maybe 2 to 4 weeks. Mike White, another guy that I had no idea was still in the NFL, filled in for Wilson in that loss to the Patriots. That was an ugly game. Expected to make those next two starts, but the Jets are probably going to have to bring in some help to back up Mike White.
Man, I was bummed to see him get hit and injured, but everybody knew it was coming. Now, if I'm Zach Wilson's representation, his agent, publicist, whatever, if I'm his parents, if I'm anybody close to him, I'm saying, we're going to take our time with this.
Yeah,
PCL.
You take your sweet time on that one.
Because I'm worried that you'll still have 5-6 games left, and exposing him to more hits, it's just not the right thing to do. This is not college. It's a completely different world. The hits are different. They're so much more devastating and damaging. Those are such bigger bodies coming at a more extreme speed that understand how to drive you into the ground or where to hit you. And
were you surprised a little bit by the – now, you're not – I mean, you were playing on the line, but were you surprised a little bit by the level of physicality making that jump up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you always said you could handle the physicality.
Yep.
But the speed, I mean, I got to imagine there's a moment like, whoa.
I always had the ability, size-wise, strength-wise, to handle anything physicality-wise. I loved nasty, dirty play. But the speed was crazy. The schemes are even crazier. And I don't know if I just got into Peyton Manning's system or Vic Fangio's system defensively. Vic Fangio was my defensive coordinator.
That's your first problem.
He overthinks everything. But, yeah, the physicality still, it was impressive. And I know how when you go to hit a quarterback in the league and you're being paid millions of dollars to hit a quarterback, you want to make sure your presence is known. Those dudes are just coming at you. And if you don't have the right guys in front of you giving you any type of time, I just worry for Zach. You know, you watch Joe Burrow come back. Holy cow. Joe Burrow is putting it on people.
How great did they look yesterday?
Amazing. 40-some-odd points that they put up in a game that I didn't know if they'd win. I didn't predict Cincinnati to win that game.
By the way, I might owe a little bit of an apology to the Bengals. Because you were in on this a little bit, but I'll take the heat. I thought they were morons for not drafting, was it Penei Sewell? And going with Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh man.
But they couldn't guard Ja'Marr Chase yesterday. And that dude's setting all kinds of records right now and actually is on pace. Is at a higher pace right now than Calvin Johnson was when he had 1,900 yards receiving back in the day. This dude is lighting it up. So, hey, you know what? That's why the Bengals scouting department makes way more money than we do.
Did you see him beating the Ravens, though?
No.
Let's say they eke it out by 1 point. I would have been like, wow, that's a really good win for Cincinnati. They beat him 47-17.
He almost put a 50-burger on that defense.
It was a whooping that they put out on Baltimore.
A whooping.
That kind.
Beat him up. Smacked him around.
Yeah, they did.
Yep. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
They did.
And, of course, the ugly.
Hey, have you watched this whole thing with what Jordan Schultz did?
Yeah, we talked about it on Friday.
So did you see the Suns' response to that?
Yeah, they're not happy.
So here's what the Suns said. If you didn't see it, Jordan Schultz, who is an NBA insider, has been doing it for a lot of years.
Yep, well-connected, has been on this station a lot.
He sent out a tweet on Friday that said that there was a massive story coming that was accusing team owner Robert Sarver of several incidents of misconduct, which included racism and other things. And this all, of course, before the report was published. I have not seen anything published.
That's the thing. I have not. And Lloyd, if I'm off base on this, actually, I don't know if the report's been released yet.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think it has either.
Okay, so the Suns got out in front of this, and they released a statement, and they said, "We understand that an outlet is considering publishing a proposed story that makes completely baseless claims against the Suns organization concerning a variety of topics. Documentary evidence in our possession and eyewitness accounts directly contradict the reports that are accused. And we are preparing our response to his questions. We urge everyone not to rush to judgment here, especially based on lies, innuendo, and a false narrative to attack our organization and its leadership." So that was the Suns that put that out. And then Sarver responded to the Jordan Schultz tweet. He said, "While I can't begin to know how to respond to some of the vague suggestions made by mostly anonymous voices, I can certainly tell you that some of the claims I find completely repugnant to my nature and to the character of the Suns' workplace. And I can tell you they never, ever happened." That was the way Sarver responded to Jordan Schultz. So the Suns came out with a response. Sarver, the owner, came out with a response. And we still don't have a report. We just have a tweet that really caught the sports world into in a frenzy. That tweet was inflammatory, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing, and I'll back up a little bit because I think that I've been on the receiving end of a lot of stuff where you're reporting what's out there, not necessarily the accuracy of those things. So in terms of Jordan Schultz is saying, hey, there's a report coming. He didn't say where it was coming from, if it was from him, that is accusing Robert Sarver of this, this, and this. Now, I don't think Jordan Schultz in that tweet said, yes, it's true.
And I am reporting
and it. I am reporting it. He says the NBA is bracing for a report that will come out accusing him of this. And if the evidence is, if there is substantiated evidence of that, the NBA may be forcing Robert Sarver to sell his team. So if you look at what he's saying, if there is, in fact, a story that apparently is coming out, and even the Suns verify that apparently they're aware that there's a story out there, I don't think anything Jordan Schultz said is untrue here. And
no.
He's not confirming that it's true. He's just saying, hey, the NBA is bracing for this mammoth story to break concerning Robert Sarver.
This tweet just caused a storm.
Yeah.
And it had the inflammatory accusations against this owner kind of involved in that tweet. You know, very brief mentions of some of the areas that would be in this report. I'm wondering if it stymied its release.
That's the thing.
Like, the Suns got out in front of it and said, whoa, 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 whoa. You get Schultz on the line. We'll figure out who's going to release this, what they've got. We need to be ready to combat this because the way Jordan Schultz made this report that's being released sound was it was the next owner to be pushed out of ownership is the way he made it feel with that release or that tweet.
97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. There you go. Good, the bad, the ugly. Coming up next, another edition of Whole World News brought to you by Elite Works, and that is where we're at right now. If your website stinks, now's the time to get it fixed, and they will rebuild it for free. 844-523-2777. Call right now, 844-523-2777. We'll talk more to Scotty about that next. It's all right here on The Zone Sports Network.
The new Zone lineup is here. With the best coverage of the sports you love and the teams you can't live without. Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10, followed by Jake Scott and Ben Anderson from 10 to noon. Get your daily fix of Hans and Scotty from noon to 3. And then The Zone welcomes Unrivaled with Alex Keery and former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell to the team. Weekdays from 3 to 6, live and local. All day, every day. This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5 1280 The Zone. It is time for another edition of Whole World News, spanning the globe to find something that hopefully will interest you.
Can you think of anything tougher than an Australian, essentially an Australian Marine, a guy that was brought up in the Australian military to be a mercenary?
No, absolutely not. That's a different breed right there.
Yeah, it's a different breed. And this guy's name is Tony Whitman. He's 45 years old.
All right.
And he saw that a local animal shelter had his cat. And he was going to go get his cat.
He's got a specialized set of skills.
Apparently, somebody must have told him, well, you're not just going to come in here and get your cat. Like, we've got to see proper documentation, and let's do this the right way. Well, he barged in to this animal shelter in full combat gear, was armed with a fake assault rifle.
Oh, no. And not without my cat.
And
give me back my cat.
Fake assault rifle, full fatigues, all geared up. And he walks in and he actually took a 23-year-old employee and tied them up.
Oh, geez.
And started questioning this employee about the whereabouts of his cat, wanted to know where the cat was. Whitman told the employee to count to 100, and then he left the shelter without getting the cat, because at that point I think he realized what he just did.
The alcohol wore off and realized, oh, no.
He came back the next day to get his cat, and the police were there waiting for him and arrested him.
Well, they always say you return to the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
The man just wants mittens back in his house.
That's it. Just give him the cat. It reminds me of, what is that movie you told me to watch where somebody killed his dog and he just went haywire?
Oh, John Wick?
John Wick.
Yeah.
Just went nuts on everybody.
Yeah.
This guy's going nuts on everybody. But listen to what he's charged with now, because he wanted his cat and couldn't wait and show documentation. He pled guilty on Monday, just this morning, in the Melbourne Magistrates Court to false imprisonment, aggravated burglary, criminal damage, perjury, common law assault, and carrying an imitation weapon.
All right, so let's say one day you're out walking Buster and Gracie. Buster, who's now hard of hearing, gets a little full head of steam, and all of a sudden he ends up at the dog pound. And they're like, and you go in like, I got to get my dog back. And they're like, sorry, sir, I'm going to need triplicates of this form. I need this signed. I need this notarized. I need this, this, and this before you can even see your dog. And you see him back there, and he's looking at you, and there's like four pit bulls and a Doberman Pinscher just lining him up, looking like a T-bone steak.
You ever seen the movie Tank with James Garner?
Yes.
I'm going to get one of JP's backhoes, and I'm going right over the wall. I'm getting my boy back. I'm not letting somebody hold my little Buster.
You and Whittinghammer in a Ferrari. I'm going to go get him back.
Buster's a needy little dog. He gets cold. He gets chilly.
Oh, jeez.
He needs his treats. The thing is, and Scott Brown, the owner of Elite Works, the thing is, Scott, you know, full head of steam with Buster's about 2.5 miles an hour.
That might be at the top end for about 2 seconds.
I'm pretty sure I could give myself a brisk walk and catch him. Plus, I don't let either one of those little turkeys out of my sight for 5 seconds. Those dogs are my entire world.
They're so cute.
Oh, they're the best.
Gracie's kind of you'd probably be okay with Gracie, though, right?
No, I'd love that little dog. She's so funny. Gave her a haircut yesterday and trimmed her up. She looks a little like a rat.
Now, Scott's got a real dog.
That's true.
Is it a golden doodle, or what do you got?
Labradoodle.
Labradoodle.
Old Claire Bear.
Claire is Buster and Gracie's best friend.
Yep. They hang.
Yeah, they come for sleepovers and play dates.
Yep. They do. They really do.
This is unreal.
And we got to call their moms to make sure it's okay.
Now, Gracie gets a little lactose intolerant, so tell her to take it easy on the treats. You guys.
I'm sorry, dude. When Scotty brings Claire over, he brings a diaper bag, but it's full of toys and dog treats.
And like jerky.
You guys are like men's. But all of a sudden, he just like.
Oh, gosh, I love dogs so much. They're just hilarious. Anyways, we got to get back to Elite Works. Go to eliteworks.com. And you can start your shopping for a new free website rebuild or a new website, whatever you're looking for. Or you can call them. By the way, EliteWorks is the sponsor of Whole World News, 844-523-2777. And you've got people standing by ready to take those calls.
Standing by. And if you call right now, Gracie, Buster, and Claire Bear in their Santa hats, we will send you a free Christmas card.
We did do a Christmas card with all three of them in Santa.
We got you. Scotty is over here just wanting it.
I don't know what's going on. Hans won't buy a Halloween costume for his kids.
But this dog
dude is decked out to the nines. Right?
Have you seen Buster in his pirate costume? So stinking cute. But free website rebuild, 844-523-2777. We've just kind of given in, Scotty, and Elite Works is what they are.
It is.
And because you guys own the hosting software or the hosting platform, you're able to offer these free website rebuilds.
We are. I mean, think about what you have right now for your website, and if you don't have a CRM, the capability of billing all your sales, all your orders, tracking all of them.
A scheduler.
Yeah, a scheduling, social media, all of it combined into one place, and it's for free. And then on top of that, it's only $25 a month. Come on, right? You need to call us. Everything is based on dollars and cents. And if it makes sense, obviously, you should call in and do this. And why not? Because, you know, we have real professional website designers that have
right
done
this
for...
Right here
in Lehi, Utah. And you're going local. There's over 5,000 people that have already done this. There's no contracts. This platform has matured so much over the last 5 years, and we continually are updating it and putting new stuff in it. And if you're only paying $25 a month, you're getting all those updates with it as well. So it's getting better and better every day. And so, you know, come be a part of it. Buy local, get your website going, and we're going to help you out getting more business and traffic to your business.
It's just a fresh new look.
It is.
A fresh start, a fresh new design. And if you like your old design, they'll take that old design and they'll just spice it up.
They'll
make it more bold, more clean, and really make your business pop. I mean, when people check it out, and Scotty, you were talking about this, you know, you go pull up a website. If it doesn't look good on a business on a business platform,
your confidence has gone way down.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. So if you're in sales or you're in, you know, like you have a studio with a scheduler or you're a bakery or if you're maybe just looking for like to resell stuff.
Yeah, glamour shots.
Glamour shots. Like maybe your glamour shots by Scotty.
Yeah.
You can get it done.
That is a business idea.
Get the website done at EliteWorks, 844-523-2777. Doesn't matter what you do. If your business has a website, they will rebuild it for free.
For free.
Call in. Let's go. 97.5, 1280 The Zone.